Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 102. That's right. We are on the triple digits now. Yeah. Somebody missed the 101, so I got to do that alone last week.
But I wonder who that was.
Yeah, I wonder. But welcome, folks, to Heroes Asylum. We're a weekly podcast, Facebook show, YouTube. We're also on where we just discuss the latest news and events that have happened in the comic book world, movies, sci-fi, fantasy. And we want to thank you guys for being here with us. And if you guys are interested, we actually now do have a Patreon channel. So if anybody is interested in showing some love and maybe donating, if you guys would like, we have a Patreon channel now, and it's right up there if you guys check that out. And so if you guys are interested to support the show, Kane and I do this for the love, but a little love from you guys would always be appreciated.
And especially now,
Kane
need to update some equipment.
Yeah, Kane's recently updating a little bit. So, but if you guys have any questions about anything, always give us a shout out. You can always reach us over on our Facebook page, and also on our Twitter page, which we will show you guys throughout the show. If you guys have any questions, and of course, if you're watching it on Facebook, you're right there. But yeah, Kane, how have you been doing, man?
I've been good. I've been good. I just getting some rest, trying to get used to my new schedule at work tomorrow. So. Boning up some news that we have this week. Just came off the watch along last night. We did Into the Spider-Verse. That was fun. And a movie review on Mortal Kombat.
So that's right. Yeah. Fun. So this week, Wednesday, will be the release of the Mortal Kombat movie review. Next week, we will be dropping the Into the Spider-Verse. So that way you guys have a little time to see what's coming out. And of course, in our Facebook group, guys, this is Black History Month. So in our Facebook group, we are celebrating Black History Month with every Monday. We're going to try to do Monday movies, but we try to do those with the movies we're doing. But definitely on our Titan Tuesdays or our Women Crush Wednesdays. And of course, so I guess we'll try to do it a little bit on the Throwback Thursday. So if you guys are interested, check those out. Give us some suggestions.
Yeah, big suggestions. They're kind of tough to find.
Really. When you delve in and look and see who's out there now, you'll find quite a few of a lot of black superheroes out there and their books. I mean, especially now, it's not in the news, but right now DC has just relaunched Milestone this February. It's not released yet, but in February they will be relaunching the 1990s series of Milestone. They have re-released them throughout the last year. Whenever DC Fandom was, I think they started reissuing the old Milestones, including Icon, Hardware, Static. They've all been, and then of course there's a few other books that were part of that group. But I can't right off the top of my head remember all of them. But then they are starting a new series based off of those characters again. So we're going to get fresh new material from actually the writers and the guys that originally set out and started Milestone. So they're going to come back, and I think there's a couple of new –
Is it going to be new stories?
Last year they re-released the old stories. Starting February, they're issuing new stories.
Oh, that's good. I'm about to pick some of those up.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially Icon. Icon, I think, has been horribly not even used at all. I was going to say misused. He hasn't even been used.
Well, he has been used. Oddly enough, he and Static – are the only two that carried over into DC's animated world in Justice League Unlimited. He never had a speaking role, as far as I'm aware, but you would see Icon in the Unlimited series in the background a lot of times. Of course, Static had his own series voiced by with Phil LaMarr, great series. I think that you can find that actually on HBO Max now. If anybody is interested, I think they're dropping it this month in February to
I'll have to check that out because I haven't seen that since that was a series that came out after Batman Beyond. So that was
– I think they were around the same time because during Batman Beyond – because you remember during Batman Beyond, they had a couple of crossovers with older Static.
I liked older Static. Yeah, was that Phil LaMarr who voiced him too?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they were going on about the same time because it would be kind of silly if they did an older Static without having a – younger Static show. So they were going on around the same time.
Okay.
But definitely some things to check out for Black History Month, guys. Make sure you guys show the love because there are some awesome books. I'm always very partial to Milestone, but I know there's a whole ton of other books that are out there. But growing up reading Milestone, I'd always gravitate back to that. But I know there's tons of other books, especially by a lot of new writers and artists that you guys need to check out.
I think one of the last ones I read, not from, was it Mark Millar did one. I think we posted it in our Throwback Thursday. It was Prodigy.
Yeah.
I know he was an African-American gentleman, and I thought that was a really good series, really solid. Pretty much a dude who could just figure out anything within, like, he literally was born and he could do heart surgery. And, like, he could just figure it out, like, right away. Like, his mind worked at such a level that his learning curve was literally, like, seconds instead of, like, years, and he could just pick up things. That was a really good run. I think it was, like, 7 issues. It's on hardback right now, but yeah, Mark Millar, Prodigy. Check that out, guys, if you haven't read it yet.
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the show. Unfortunately, we do have two passings we got to talk about. One sort of jumps in kind of in our realm a little bit. She was in a lot of other movies, but I believe, you know, and some, I think she touched so many areas that I wanted to recognize her. But last week on January 27th, we lost Cloris Leachman. I mean, if I'm, this one goes back to kind of my, I guess, my movie phase and stuff, but, you know, she was in Young Frankenstein, Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid, you know, Raising Hope. I mean, she was in a ton of movies and, just a, all over the place. Broken Lizard, Beer Fest. She was the grandmother.
Was the mother.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just loved, well, loved any movie that she ever, whenever I saw
her. They were called the Von Steins, I think, or something.
Yeah.
You got to get the Von Stein beer. I forgot about Beer Fest.
Yeah. That was like one of the first ones that popped in. Scary Movies, you know, she was in. So, I mean, she had a very long career, you know, and stayed very, very busy into her career. I mean, she was still acting till last year. She still got a couple of movies getting ready to come out. So she, ooh, it wasn't that she was, you know, sitting back on her laurels. She was still getting out there and doing a lot of work. And just like I said, somebody that's always been there whenever I've seen her in movies, I was always happy to see her.
Yeah. Nice to see a friendly face.
And then after that, we have Peter Veir Jones. Now, Peter is best known for his work within the last, I think, was it the last one? Or the second of the Hobbit films with Peter Jackson. He was a spider in the Hobbit, A Desolation of Smaug.
Oh, okay. That other trilogy.
Yeah, it was the Hobbit, yeah. And then the Hobbit ones. But also something that really resonated with me, he was also in Xena the Warrior Princess, as well as Hercules, The Legend Continues, or The Legendary Journeys. He was actually the first Zeus in Hercules.
The movies or the series?
The series, the Legendary Journeys. The series had their own, I think.
And Anthony Quinn.
Yeah, Anthony Quinn, I think, was in the movies. He was in there, but he was only in there for one episode as Zeus. So he might have been before Anthony Quinn. That might be why he was only in there.
No, I think he was after Quinn.
Like I said, he was only
– because Quinn was first. And was episode you're talking about too. That's – yeah, he was only in one episode. Well, yeah, because it was a season finale and it was like a 1 year, and then he branched out to – I think it was like – basically one episode. I think I know what you're talking about too.
But yeah, so yeah, he was definitely in there. So again, not to get exactly into the comic book world, but that definitely – they both fall into the kind of the fantasy realm. So I just wanted to give a shout out to both of them. They will be missed. Again, we still have a chance to see Cloris. She's got two more movies coming out. I don't know what they – I saw the titles. I have no idea what they are, but there are two movies scheduled for this year, but we know how that goes this year.
Yes, sir. We know.
So what do you have? Let's start you off, man. What do you got first go around?
Hey, guess what? Guess who's coming to Titans this year?
Who?
Robin.
Tim Drake.
Tim Drake is coming this year. I think we talked about it for a while that he may or may not show up. But yeah, I'm going to butcher this guy's name. Jay Lucuro? Yes, Jay Lucuro is going to join season 3 of Titans as Tim Drake. Now, Tim Drake made his first appearance in issue of Batman 436 in the year 1989. And if you guys don't remember the backstory of Dick, he eventually found out who Dick and Bruce were all on his own, and he became the third Robin of the series.
Yeah, so he became the more techie Robin. I think when we saw Robin in the animated series, he was more techie. I think that was more getting taken away from Tim than Dick. I mean, because Dick was more the acrobat. He was more the physical side of, like, how Bruce was. And Tim, I always thought, especially when they introduced Robin in – not in in Young Justice, how he was all about the computers and he was the tech guy. That's mm-hmm. why I always – I mean, other than Cyborg, but, you know, when – but, you know, he was – and that's why I always like – you know, I think they're drilling – they're really pulling from Tim, I think. And he was – besides Dick, he was my favorite one because he was the one I saw when I got reintroduced to comic books at – you mm-hmm. know, when I – as I got, you know, just out of high school. I was going to college at the time, and that's when I got reintroduced to comic books. And he was the Robin at that time, and I really – fell in love with his character. And what I loved is how he became Robin by deducing on his own. You know, he had no – I think his mother had passed, but his father had just been injured. And he was, you know, trying to nurse his dad back, you know, help his dad out. But then he just was like, wait a second, what's going on here? I noticed something here.
Yeah, he could observe things pretty well. And he just like – he was probably more of the detective than, you know, like you just said, than Dick was. Dick was more the fighter. He was more the detective, more of the geeky stuff. And he figured out who Bruce and Dick were all on their own. And they're like, what? He just pops in here. He's like, yeah, you're a Batman. And I guess he just threw him in there and trained him. And
yeah,
he's a very popular Robin, too. I've been listening to certain podcasts at Geek History Lesson. I know somebody on there is a huge Tim Drake fan. And I started listening to a couple of their episodes. And they broke down the character really well. Guys, if you check that out, not to give them free promotion, but they're pretty good, especially breaking down characters. And I started liking Tim Drake after hearing her synopsis of how
he
is. And
what do you think? Like you think back in the Battle of the Cowl, he was the one that never gave up on Bruce.
No,
you know, he's the one. He picked up the Red Robin costume or that mantle, and he's the one that always was kept fighting. He also was the one that never gave up on Superboy when Connor, you know, vanished for however many years he had vanished. You know, he was the one that was constantly looking out. Connor's going to come back. He's not gone. Tim's always had a ray of hope in that dark Bat family. And so it's an interesting take.
Yep. When you so come we're going to see get him this year. So they're filming right now. So I can only imagine he probably would show up midway through the season, because I know we're getting Scarecrow and Red Hood this year and Blackfire. So
I think they need to let him breathe a little bit, because we need to see the fall of Jason. To me, that's just too quick. Like that's boyfriend.
You're preaching to the choir with that one. I still want to figure out how they're going to do it, because like the last time we saw him, he was in a motorcycle leaving. It didn't look like he was too pissed off at him. Like, what happened between them?
I think we're going to have a time frame jump. I think we're going to have a time jump of a couple of years, and I think that's when we're going to see that. Okay, that's why Bruce did bring in a new Robin, and that's why. And I hope they follow with the suit of that he's the one that figured out who they all were. You know.
Yeah, just do it that way. I mean, don't be too cute or something, or be too intelligent for yourself and make another origin. Just stick to that.
Well, it's the Titans. They've done, I mean, two seasons, they've done really well. They've stuck to the game. Again, it's not CW doing Batman or taking those characters. It's Warner Brothers, who owns those properties, and they're going to treat them with kid gloves and make sure that they're treated the right way.
I thought the first two seasons they've done pretty well. Yeah. I think they've stuck to the material pretty well. The characters are pretty much spot on. And you know, I know a lot of people have their detractors because, oh, it's not the Titans. They're not like, you know, very – because I guess the books of the Titans were more like, you know, soap opera-ish, I guess I would say.
Well, this is post that time. That's what I've understood when watching it. It's post that soap opera time, because we hear the stories about Wonder Girl and you know, and Dick, and that he was a bit of a player back in the day.
Yeah, so – I don't know what time. I think Titans is going to drop this season, probably to October. There's no release date yet.
But they're looking at later in the year. What got announced is something I know you and I have been talking about, and we can't wait. But you know, Neil Gaiman has the Sandman for Netflix. Neil Gaiman has announced its cast. And I'm kind of interested to hear your take on it. We got Tom Sturridge for Dream. Tom's done, let's see, he's been on Being Julia, Like Minds, The Boat That Rocked. So he's a pretty young actor. Well, not that young, really. So he's going to be 35, but he's going to be playing Dream. And we've got Gwendolyn Christie, who, if anybody is not familiar with who she is, Phasma. Yeah, Captain Phasma. And for you Game of Thrones fans, that is, I always butcher her name, Brienne of Tarth. is so if anybody's a Game of Thrones fan, so you, that way you, you have your sci-fi and your fantasy coming together in one, probably one of the best comic book adaptations. What do you think, being a Lucifer fan? What? No, I'm just asking you one question. What do you think of her being cast as Lucifer?
It's a different Lucifer. It's the Lucifer from the Neil Gaiman world. So I have no problem with it. It's not a big deal. I know people were up in arms, and I think we had a discussion a while ago. If the Lucifer TV show ended, you know, it can go straight to the Sandman type series. But this is a different Lucifer than that one is. So yeah,
which I'm glad
to see. I don't have an issue with that. It's just like I said, he's going to be written different. It's Lucifer just in name only.
Right.
That's all it is. But it's going to be a totally different character. It's going to be the. Based on those books, it's the Neil Gaiman. Not that the one on TV isn't, but it's loosely based. It really isn't.
I mean, if you really, well, yeah. I mean, it really
I'm
isn't.
I'm trying to give him a little bit of credit. No. There's really nothing of it, but it's just like a name only. But you're going to get the true Neil Gaiman Lucifer in this show now. And Tom Sturgeon, I know he's been in a couple independent movies. I saw one; he was pretty good in. And you know, I guess for somebody like Dream, you need somebody who's an unknown, and I'd rather have an unknown or. Not well known.
Right.
I don't want to say unknown. He's done stuff, but you know, I couldn't see like a Taron Egerton doing.
No, you don't want somebody that's already got baggage of like, oh yeah, I remember him from doing this, and so I expect to see this guy. Now, this is something that he's going to make his own, I think. We also have Vivian, Archibong. I can't pronounce the name, and there's no link. She's an unknown. As far as the links go for me, we also have a Corinthian who will be played by Boyd Holbrook.
Boyd Holbrook from good old Wolverine that we did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he's the one that played Donald Pierce. We have, Roderick Burgess. He'll be played by Charles Dance.
Charles Dance, man.
You talk about this throwback. You know, we talk about Benedict from Last Action Hero. I mean, and Dracula Untold.
Hey, there we go.
I mean, you want to talk about pulling it out. Then we're going to have Abe and Cable, or Abel. Goodness, why am I combining them? Cain and Abel. So we have a Sim. And I can't pronounce the last name. I do apologize. But he's did a Taskmaster. He was in Black Mirror. I think he was on one of the episodes of Black Mirror. So.
I remember everybody was in Black Bear. Pretty much. I'm looking at the cast right now.
Yeah, and then Sanjay Bishak for Kane.
Okay, I see it. Oh, Vivian Anshimpong? Is that her name?
Yeah. I don't. Again, I don't have a link for who she is. So I don't know. Unfortunately,
Asim Chandra Abel. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I love the fact that I do think it's kind of cool that they are keeping like the Cain and Abel characters very Middle Eastern in their.
I'm looking at them right now.
So I like that concept. Now, this is only a partial cast because there's a few more characters still set to come in. But these are just the initial.
Constantine, right?
Yes, exactly. And they've already said Matt's not coming in. It's because this is a different one because you don't want him in there. Because he's a different type of Constantine. You wouldn't fit in this. Who would you think? Who would you like to see? Like a real grit Constantine.
I want an older Constantine. Number one.
Oh well, I mean, it's got to be. Yeah, he's got to be in his 30s to 40s. Yeah, definitely.
I want somebody like a middle age or something like 30, 35. And man, there's a couple. I mean, you could throw Colin Farrell in there. I mean, he could fit in this world. I don't think Taron Egerton would because I think he's just a little bit too young. And like you said, he got too much baggage in him.
You're on a Taron Egerton kick today, aren't you?
I know. I just do my thing.
Did you watch a little Twilight this weekend? Is that what happened?
Yeah, is what happens. You could, just get an unknown too. I mean, you know, they've done pretty well with unknown, so just go for another guy. You know, you don't go for one of those stage actors. Hey, you know what? Ray Fisher's not doing anything.
There you go. So yeah, I'm looking forward to see them recasting John Constantine. Nothing against Matt. I love Matt. I love what he's done. No, but he in that CW world, he is the Constantine, hands down. Nobody else can be that. But we're going into the Neil Gaiman, real dark, gritty. World. So we need a little bit grittier Constantine, I think. You and I have talked about it with Constantine. Even Keanu, he wasn't Constantine that we wanted to see, but that's what we got, and we actually enjoyed it. I liked him.
Oh, they're going to do a sequel to it.
Yeah, so. They are. Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be a little confusing. That's I think that's going to be the area that a lot of folks are going to get a little confused on.
There's going
to
be like three Constantines like, running around.
Which one are we watching? We're going to see Keanu-tine or which one is it?
I don't know, man. We're going to have like the multiverse of Constantines now, which is going to be crazy.
Which is
like
fine. They all should meet up together. Hey, bloke, and have a cigarette and do a shot. And
you know. They should. And there's like hey, bloke, and like, the, you know, Matt is the only English one. And then you have like, hey, dude, what's up? Is it your Constantine, mate?
But I love the fact that, you know, this one is executive produced by Neil. That's one of the perks and one of the things I'm happy to see is that it's not just somebody else. I mean, yes, David S. Goyer's here, and David S. Goyer's been all over TV for DC. That's just he's been the go-to guy. God, I can't remember since I think Smallville. I think he's always been involved. Was he involved?
Goyer's been especially for DC, because I know he started writing for Marvel, because I know he wrote the first couple Blade movies. Yeah, directed the third Blade, one. Yeah. It was terrible. Then he wrote Batman Begins with Nolan and his brother. So, and then Dark Knight. So he's been around for a while. So
he's been touching the superhero world and good and bad. Cause there have been a few that folks have been like, oh, what did he do? No more Goyer. And then we see him recover and do it. So, but we're looking forward to it. And again, it's going to be on Netflix. I don't have a release date. I mean, they're literally at the infancy right now. They've got the cast getting together.
I would guess if they're casting now, next year, probably. I can't see them unless they're going to rush in and like towards winter.
Yeah. Well, they did say, actually, absolutely. Now I'm reading for a little bit further in the article. They did begin filming last October. So October 20 and on the 20th.
Oh, so you could see it this year.
So you might be able to. Yeah. Which would be great, you know, to get a release for, you know, around, you know, the holidays, especially Halloween. I mean, what better way to introduce them?
True that.
All right. So what do you got now?
Oh, man, guess what? Your favorite movie, Justice League, the Snyder Cut, has a release date.
Yes.
It is coming out 3/18/21, so March instead of May. And on Zack Snyder's official Twitter page, he posted a black and white picture with the Justice League logo kind of like in disheveled and black and white. And he also called Fallen, Risen, Reborn. And it has a couple posters on there. You could check out on his Twitter page. But so this is the official date. It is not going to be a four-parter. It's just going to be one straight movie, 4 hours long. Can't wait to see it. I know you have your opinions about it. You said basically it's going to be the same movie with additional scenes. But I think those additional scenes could add to it, especially if you're going to get Darkseid in there, Desaad, and all that other wacky stuff from the fourth world of Jack Kirby. So yeah, I think it's going to be pretty decent. So I can't wait for it. I mean, we've been hearing about this long enough, like over, what was it, the Snyder Cut, like 3-4 years it's been going on since Justice League came out, the Whedon Cut. We've been hearing that for years, like, you know, release the Snyder Cut. Now we're finally going to get it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we finally got the green light last year, just before Fandom. That's when we got the full of the official announcement. I mean, I'll watch it. I'm going to check it out. I just don't see much more. It's going to change to the story itself. Like I've always said, we're getting from point A to point B. We're going to the point A to point B no matter what. It's what happened in between that's going to change. But I don't think that was what the bitch was for everybody that didn't like it. It wasn't about the journey inside. It was where we ended up. And that's where I said, that's where I think it's just not going to change that much.
We shall find out March 18th.
Yeah, now that's weird. See, because literally a week ago, I saw something just before they announced that it was like it was going to be in 4 hour block or 4 1 hour blocks, and like it's just like that part I'm still not sure on until it comes out, because I've heard too many different rumors that it flip flops back and forth, and I have heard
Zach said on his page it's going to be a 4 hour long movie.
Well, I know, but I've heard that from his page before that it was a 4 1 hour, you know, so that's why I'm like, I'll just wait and see.
That's the most recent one, so I don't know if you want to,
because that's a lot to ask. Even I mean, I'm a huge sweaty, and that's a long time to ask somebody to sit and watch your movie. The hour block I think is more reasonable, or two hours. So
I don't know, like I said, they have between then and now to change. It's already done, so just gotta edit it. You could edit it down to an hour and then release it in blocks if they wanted to. I don't know, maybe Zack's vision is a 4 hour movie, who knows.
Well, apparently, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, all the directors are all like, oh, I want this big thing. And then it's like the guys are releasing go, no, we're going to do it. This way.
You need to cut like, let's see, 60 minutes out. Yeah.
Well, it's not that you got to cut. Just we're going to chop it for you. We're not going to really edit anything out. We're just going to say, okay, this is this hour. And then tomorrow is going to be this hour. And then And so, like I said, I just think sitting down for 4 straight hours to watch something's just a lot. I mean, Avengers was a lot to handle. And
Lord of the Rings were almost 3.5 hours, 4 hours long. So if you could sit through that, you could sit through anything.
Yeah. Again, so. I guess he's got to bring a big game for to us to stay that long. That's going to be the big challenge, I think.
Well, we're gonna find out in about a month and a half, I guess. So look for it.
So we've got rumor mills kicking around in Marvel Studios. We are looking at possibly John Bernthal set to return as the Punisher for a new Marvel Studio project that they're pushing out. We've already gotten the word that Charlie Cox is expected to return as Matt Murdock / Daredevil in Spider-Man 3, as well as in She-Hulk series. So he's going to be playing that character twice. Not just the one time, like we were talking about a month ago. He is set to play Matt Murdock twice in the MCU. So I'm thinking that's a red light. That's the green light for me to say, hey, that character's going to come back. And I think they're going to do the smart thing and step and use what Netflix created and use it as a stepping stone just to move forward, because they don't have to spend the money to redo an origin story. They don't have to do that for any of those characters. Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, they're all created, ready to go, ready. And these guys, if the characters or the actors are, willing to do it, it'd be great. There's also been talks with Kristen Ritter stepping back into the role of Jessica Jones. And now rumors are claiming that John is also set to arm up again for Punisher. So I'm excited to see that.
I'm all for it. And like I said, I think eventually you'll see Vincent D'Onofrio. I think his Kingpin will find a way to come back. I think, not sure about Iron Fist or Luke Cage. Maybe those guys, maybe not.
They should come back together, so that way they can kind of work together.
Just do that. I mean, don't even mess around. Don't even allude to it. Just do it.
Yeah, just make Heroes for Hire, and those two characters come back. If they can get both the actors back, I think that'd be great. I know there was a lot of bashing on Iron Fist. I liked Iron Fist for what it was doing. And I love Luke Cage. I thought that was an amazing show.
I love Luke Cage too. I love Luke Cage. I love the world they built, and especially, that world was built in Harlem. That's all it was. It wasn't world destruction, just like, hey, I want to save my neighborhood, and that's all it was.
But that's what all those characters are. Those characters are nothing but the local.
Save the block.
That's again, that's what Spider-Man is. That's what Tony told, Peter. You will look out for your town. You're here to take care of what's here going on. And that's what all those characters were. Everything that took place in Hell's Kitchen in the comic books with, Daredevil and Luke Cage and Spider-Man jumping in every once in a while, they were all just low level thugs. And that's what we need to do. They had a chance to do it, with Netflix and with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but, they didn't do that.
Didn't quite do that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing those characters again, especially, if you do them right. And like you just said, they're already there. Just pluck them in. Just go. And they're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, you will be next.
Am I next?
Yeah, you'll be next.
Okay. Batman, the animated series, The Long Halloween. Yeah, Long Halloween is coming, buddy. It's going to be getting it to PG-13 rating. Doesn't look like there's a release date, but if you guys know what The Long Halloween is, it was published between the years of 1996 and 1997. It picks up exactly where Frank Miller's Batman Year One left off. No release date, but sometime in 2021. So we're going to get The Long Halloween. I know that's one of your favorites. It's one of my favorites. I think the version that, what's his name, Matt Reeves is doing, he's talking about doing a Year One and borrowing some elements for The Long Halloween. So now we're going to get that actually animated film that we could check out. Hopefully it'll be better than under the Death in the Family film, which I don't know what the hell that was, but we'll talk about that sometime. That was it was like 2 hours long. I mean, I love the DC showcases, but it was just like, it was the Death in the Family had nothing to do with it. It was just Bruce and Clark talking at a table for like
it was the other side. I kind of see what they were doing, because when you saw Under the Red Hood, you saw a flash of what happened in Death of a Family. And I know you, me, and a whole bunch of other people are like, man, we didn't get a chance to see that. So what they basically did was made a prologue to the Under the Red Hood, debate instead of making a whole new movie, because really we don't care about the whole movie. We just care about up to that point and what happened. And that's what we got. And that's what they did. So and I they could have done it in a little bit better fashion, I think. But
it just was too choppy to me. Like I said, the things that I enjoyed were the showcases. The showcases to me were the best part of it. And they weren't even advertised at all. You had to find that out. Like after literally the movie ended, like, oh, what is this? And then you see all those little like showcases that you were telling me about for years. They put them all at the end, and I'm like, oh, this is great. And you know, I think they're going to do some more showcases coming up this year. I'm not sure if you have that on your news reports, but they're going to bring that back, and that's one of my favorite things, and I can't wait, especially for the ones we're going to get. I think we're going to get one on Constantine. So there's one right there.
Yeah, we had a Blue Beetle, Constantine, Kamandi, and what was the other one? There was four. Shoot, I can't remember the other one.
You were telling me last night.
I had it up, and I don't know where the article went. So
yeah, I had it up here too, and I just but
I can't Blue remember. I can't remember the fourth one, but I mean those were the. Dr. Fake? No, it wasn't Dr. Fake. Okay. No.
Dr. Fake?
No.
That's a new character coming soon, guys.
But I think that, yeah, with the showcases I liked. I think if they would have just taken that and like if they would have just done it, reissued Under the Red Hood with those extra minutes into for Death in the Family, I think it would have been a better flow. Like you were saying, it was just
I think so too.
Yeah. It just felt too choppy. And
yeah,
but see, I don't remember that. You were saying the Halloween one. I don't remember Long Halloween in the list of the movies because I know there were two movies set to come out, like full length movies set to come out on DC.
Oh, I got it right here.
And, well, no, I'm not questioning. All I'm saying is there were two movies set to come out, and that wasn't one of them. I don't know if maybe that's just like a last minute pull that they decided to like rush out.
It doesn't really say.
But I know there was the Batman. There was a Batman one, and there was one other movie, and it wasn't another Batman one. I want to say it was a Superman movie that we were going to get this year, another Superman movie. And but I mean, I got no complaints about them deciding to release another a third one. They may have made it maybe they decided to make a change because they're noticing things are getting postponed again. So maybe they're like, hey, we need to get something out to the masses to get them to enjoy it.
So, yeah, I mean, but a PG-13 rating means it's going to have a lot of violence and
yeah, basically, I mean, I know the Batman, the Matt Reeves one, and also I know it was loosely based on the Christian Bale Batman. They all said, oh, yeah, we're basing it loosely on the Long Halloween. Pretty much every Batman movie is.
They said it loosely because loosely means none.
Yeah.
They didn't put anything in there.
That's why I'm like, I think every time they come out with a Batman thing, oh, we're going to base it loosely on this. I'm like, no, you're not. Just shut up. Don't even bring it up. All you're trying to do is give yourself street cred saying, oh, I read this book. Okay, everybody's read that
don't,
book.
Right? It's like almost like very – like I think Zach was the only one who actually put stuff in there from like the Dark Knight Returns. You know, people are like, oh, well, my Batman movie is going to be Long Halloween, Dark Knight Returns influence. And it's like never is. Oh, yeah. It's like the biggest tease in the world. Like, come on, man. Don't lie to us now. Come on now. Actually, just do it.
Yeah.
Just don't tease us like that.
You're teasing us and then you're pissing us off because when we see it.
That's the big thing. Yeah. If you tease me and then you piss me off, then I'm done. I'm done with you. You're dead. So, but look for that 2021, guys. I think no release date, but it's coming out this year, and I can't wait. I love all DC animated movies.
You never go wrong. There's a couple of.
I don't think I've ever seen a real. Well, I guess we were just talking about
probably the closest thing to a stinker. All right, so actually, sticking in the animated world, Game of Thrones. They're talking about doing an animated series on HBO Max. I think this is that prequel. Why not?
I don't want to see no animated one.
Then don't watch it. Have you watched the live? Have you watched Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I'm all on of season it. Season 2 right now. Yeah,
okay, so you have not watched all of it. So until you get to the end, then
I like it though.
Yeah, I think it'll work because I think it'll be grittier. You have to realize Game of Thrones falls under a book category of something called Grimdark, and Grimdark is. Not what we really got in the movie, in the television show. It's dark. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not, but Grimdark is a whole different realm in the subgenre of books. And I mean, you look at books like the Malazan, the Wheel of Time book series. Those fall under these grimdarks where it's bloody, gory, full on battle scenes. And I'm completely fine with HBO taking that route and doing an animated prequel, because they are talking about a prequel. And I think that's the route they should go, because I think.
What about that other series? Is the House of Dragons, is that coming too, or is this some additional?
I don't know. That's the one thing that they're saying. This is the latest rumored Game of Thrones spinoff is an animated series. Oh. So I don't know if they're going to be different. Either way, if it's going to do a full battle style scene, I would much rather it be animated, because I just think it would work better, and we could get true grimdark animated. And I mean, just think, cheaper, but just think what they, you know, look back on Spawn. You know, I've rewatched a couple of episodes of Spawn on HBO, because that's back on HBO Max now. That gritty and dark style, that would work perfectly for that.
I love that Spawn series.
Yeah, again, like I said, yeah, if you're interested, it's out there on HBO Max again. Of course, we know we need something, because good old George R.R. Martin's not releasing crap.
What the hell is he doing? He always claims he's going to release a new book every
year. It's been
a
decade. Oh, we got a question here.
Do you think they're making a cartoon game of those for kids? I don't think they're going to make one for kids.
That's what we were just talking about. Yeah, that's not going to be a kids one. It's you don't want to introduce kids to that world.
No. I don't think you want to. You want your son watching that. You know, if he's 13 years old, that's a little bit too mature. I mean, I really you can't make a Game of Thrones for kids. You just, hi, I am the Dragon Queen. No, I just don't see that. Game of Thrones is going to stay as it is. It's going to stay the gritty, violent death. You know, I'm killing your sister, killing your brother, whatever. But I don't see that kid stuff.
No, because that world just. I mean, if you want something kids, let them watch How to Train a Dragon.
I love those movies.
Well, I know, and again, so do I. But I just think that's, if you want that,
let them watch that. Yeah. You know what? Speaking of that, what do you think of that animation style to do for a Game of Thrones animated series?
What do you mean? What style they would do?
How to Train Your Dragon?
No, it's too kiddie. You got your big bulking guys with their big old heads and their big old beards, and then they're like somewhat smaller. But they need to stick to very realistic style.
That'd be a bold choice, though. Can just see it like it just literally begins, and like you think it's going to be How to Train Your Dragon 4, and it's like the beginning scene is a guy cutting off somebody's head.
That's why I mentioned Spawn. Even we can go back to heavy metal. You know, the styles of heavy metal. Styles.
I would rather see the heavy metal style, to be honest.
Or if you want to go more contemporary, let's look at Gaslight, Batman. That style is. That style. If we want to go more contemporary, and we can get away, I think that would work great with that grittier style.
Well, we shall see.
So what you got?
We shall see. Hey, remember Cloverfield?
Yeah.
The first one?
Yeah.
The found footage one, and then they made a couple sequels, which was like Cloverfield Lane, and they made another one that's straight to Netflix. They both suck. Well, now, 10 years later, we are getting a proper sequel to Cloverfield. J.J. Abrams is finally ready to make up the follow-up to Cloverfield. Earlier this month, him and Barton had spearheaded HBO Max for the upcoming series, and yeah, he said he's going to make another one. And it's not going to be found footage. That's the big thing.
We're past that trend.
Like the whole found footage thing is, to me, is dead. Like after Blair Witch Project, it was cool, and then I think everybody started copying it, and they got too redundant, and I was like, I'm done with it. So
yeah, I think
I'm glad he's not doing
found footage. I think it went over the edge with it wasn't Wreck-It Ralph. It was something else. It was like where you were supposed to be inside a body. No, it was like where you're supposed to be inside like a video game, and you're like, it was all shaky. I was like, no. I heard people walked
what
out of there.
What was that one? I don't remember that one.
It came out 3 years ago. I wish I could remember what it was, but it was like you were a video game character, and it was all pretty much done from the point of the view of the character. So there's a lot of running around and car poor shit going on. It's all sorts of. Yeah, I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. It was just.
Let me know the name.
I got sick watching the trailer. So you know how it is. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I think it'll be great. I mean, I can see they're definitely trying to ride the kaiju wave now that's going on. So, I mean, because that's basically really, I mean, let's be honest, that's what it was.
that's all it is. Like, if this kaiju thing wasn't, like, hot right now, this movie would never come to light.
Yeah, I don't think they would even think twice about doing another one. But you know, it's the kaiju wave is starting to pick up again, and I think we're at the cresting point. I don't think we're going to see too many more after this. I mean, we're getting
Kong, Godzilla.
Yeah, we're getting the Jason and Freddy moment. So this is the top of the hill.
Hopefully, walks out of the water with Godzilla's head.
There we go. Yeah, and they go to hell together. Yeah, it's like. I saw a meme today on the internet where they had a Kong where said the final scene of the movie or the post credit scene was had Kong, but he was holding a leather purse, a Godzilla skin purse. I was like, okay.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
What else do you have?
I have. I guess there was some folks were talking to Ryan Reynolds recently, and he claims that there was a Deadpool 3 in the works and kind of in its infancy during the Fox regime, and it was going to include Logan and basically a road movie. Which I think would be great if they went that route, that it was basically going to be a them out on the road on an adventure. Yeah, I'm sure he didn't get too into specifics, but just them out on the road together. Just imagine Logan, but with Deadpool in it instead of Professor Xavier. Could you imagine that style of movie?
To freaking insane. I'm always thinking about Euro Trip, like Logan and Deadpool style. That could be funny. Logan and Deadpool, they go to Europe trying to smoke weed and stuff. That'd be
them in Rat Race.
Oh my god, yes.
Where they have to race against another group of the Brotherhood of Mutants. They have to go after across country to get to something, and the X jet's broken down. So guess what? They have to steal the mystery mobile and go across.
Oh my god.
Basically, Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back, but with Deadpool
and Logan. Yeah, Deadpool. Oh gosh, there you go. There's your movie, but we're not gonna get it. But it would have been. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a departure from the first two. It would have been fun, but like Ryan said, it's. It's in Disney's hands now, so that's probably not going to happen now.
Yeah, no. And we already know that, like, Logan was the, Hugh Jackman said, Logan was it for him. That was his love letter to the fans. And also Patrick Stewart recently was talking about Logan because he recently had an interview about 2 months ago where he said he was talking to Kevin Feige. He actually spent a couple of hours sitting down talking to him, the ideas and everything. And basically – even Patrick said, he says, if it wasn't for Logan, yes, I would come back. But for me, Logan was, again, the love letter to the fans, my way of saying goodbye, and thank you for all the years. And that, so I think with Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart both, looking at Logan as, hey, that was their last send off. And we probably won't see, we're probably not going to see either one of them again. I would love to have like a voiceover part with Professor Xavier at some point in the MCU, but. But it was interesting. We're always talking about how in Feige we trust, and it is good that he's reaching out to those casts, to say, hey, you did have a history. Let's talk. Let's talk about maybe he wasn't even really looking to bring him back. Maybe he just wanted to talk to him about what was your mindset for playing the character. Why did you do this?
Get ideas for maybe like the next Professor X or the next person who's going to play that character. I mean, there's nothing wrong with talking to people. Nothing at all. So you pick your brain, pick some ideas, gather it, go forward. And like I said, there's like nothing wrong with that at all. So, I guess I'm next. Right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, my buddy, George Clooney, you know what he's doing?
What's
he's doing? A Buck Rogers. He's producing a Buck Rogers TV series.
He
said he may star on the show.
Did he say star or just act?
May.
I didn't see star. I saw one of the articles and I didn't see star.
George Clooney will produce Buck Rogers TV show and he may star potentially.
He shouldn't star. He should be in it.
I don't think he should star neither. I think he should be in it. Yeah. But I don't think he should star. Produce it. You got the money to do it. But I don't want him playing old Buck Rogers.
No. I'd rather him play somebody that's in the future that maybe his mentor that he now has to talk to, his new commander when he gets to the future.
What was that guy in the TV? Dr. Thealopicus?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
He should play the doctor.
Or you know what? Let's make it simple. He plays the voice of Twiggy.
No.
George Clooney is the voice of Twiggy.
So Twiggy's gonna be a tough guy now?
No, it's Twiggy can still be a robot. It's a, do you take George Clooney as a tough guy? When I, the movies I've seen him in, I don't really take him as a tough guy.
Well, lately, I've seen him as a tough guy, a really? Tough old guy.
Yeah, okay.
There's a couple movies out there, and I've seen him as a tough guy.
So. Well, I mean, but when I think of George Clooney, I think, you know, I think ER, I think Ocean's, you know, the Ocean series. I think, you know, Men Staring at Goats. I think of Batman. But so when I think of, you know, George Clooney, I don't think of tough guy, you know.
Tough guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could think of him as, you know, maybe the voice of Twiggy, you know, if they, however.
Yeah,
they,
he could be a voice, yeah. Or the other robot, or the one robot that was like across the neck. I forgot what those are called. Like, they're like.
Well, that was like the doctor. Smart. I think that was something. I mean, I think that thing across the neck was the doctor thing or something like that. But yeah.
Or was it Theolophicus?
Yeah. Like I said, I think just a voice would be great. Like, I know you're not a fan, and a lot of people weren't a fan of like the Knight Rider, but I love the fact that Val Kilmer was the voice of Kit. There was something better about it being more of a human quality, and I think something like that would work great, you know. And of course, I would love just to hear, you know, George Clooney doing bitty 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 bitty
what's up there, Buck?
Yeah, so you know,
no release date on it, but he's going to produce it. So
I was a huge fan of that series growing up. That was one of my, right next to Battlestar Galactica, the original series.
That was one of my favorites, yeah. Man, I remember that used to be on. I think it was NBC 9 o'clock on Friday nights, or I think it was CBS. I'm not sure. I know it was one of the networks.
I have no idea what the networks were back then, dude. Sorry. I just knew that was on. I just knew. I knew what time to go running.
At 9 o'clock, my dad was right there. Like, hey, look at that, Buck Rogers, Gil Gerard.
But yeah,
Gil still around? Maybe Gil will show up.
No, I don't think he's still around.
He's not.
I don't know. I wonder if they're going to get like the hawk or the falcon dude that had his the hair thing.
Oh, that hawk, the hawk.
Yeah, yeah, I think that. Would
be, man, he had the coolest ship, man. Yeah. I love that ship, the hawk ship. Ooh, they were way better than those interceptors at the forgot what they were called. Whatever, blah blah blah. Oh, we got another question coming up. I think should be popping up soon. But in the meantime,
Do you think that we will ever come out with an X-Men movie to or keep the characters they have in the Avengers series? No, yeah, I think we were just kind of talking about that. You know, they're gonna let the X-Men, the old X-Men, die, the Fox X-Men die away, and then they're now literally in the infancy. Like I said, just 2 months ago, they were talking to Patrick about it. So they're just now talking about how to bring the X-Men in. They're going to bring Fantastic Four in first. You know, that's going to be another 3 years probably down the road. So we're probably not going to see X-Men until 4 or 5 years from now.
Yeah, you're not going to see him for a while.
Yeah, you'll see hints.
You'll see hints, yeah. But you won't see them in form.
That's why I don't think, like with Wanda, we completely forgot about talking about Wanda.
That'll be next.
Yeah, that'll be next. But yeah, I don't think, you know, even Wanda, a lot of folks are, you know, questioning what Wanda's doing and if that'll be, and even the Doctor Strange, you know, Multiverse of Madness, I don't think that that's going to even show up, the fact of X-Men being in existence. That may be the catalyst, but I don't think we're going to see that for some time. Like I said, they're literally in the talking stages. So WandaVision. I completely forgot. I jumped over that. We were going to talk about actually WandaVision and a couple other shows. We can wrap the show up doing that. Recent episode, WandaVision, number three, pardon the interruption, I think is what it was called. So what did you think? What's your opinion? Your likes, dislikes?
I like this episode because it shows us what's been going on. You know, the first two episodes we saw everything from Wanda's perspective, this world that she's built, and now we're seeing it from the perspective of somebody who went in from the outside world. You finally see Darcy. You see I forgot his name. Randall Park showed up, and we see Sword.
Jimmy Woo.
Jimmy Woo's here. We see Sword, and we find out that Sword was created by Monica Rambeau's mom. She's one of the founding fathers of Sword. So that's cool. We saw some of that. And we pick up like literally the beginning of the episode. Spoilers, guys, if you haven't seen it. So if you haven't seen it, turn this off. And, you know, we'll see you next week. But
and if you have, if you haven't, why are you listening to us? Go watch it, Dan.
Yeah. Go watch it, then come back. But the episode begins literally after everybody's return from the snap, not the blip. I'm going to call it the snap. Yeah, they call it the snap, blip in the show, which drives me insane.
Yeah, when they said the blip, I'm like, motherfucker.
I was like, you sons of, yeah. Call, stop calling.
And I love the fact that they did that, we finally got to see something that I think a few other people, like some people were asking, is like, what was it like for the regular people to come back? Yeah, we saw it happening. Like, I think the one that's really stands out to me was when the band returned from when at Peter's school. You know, they're in the middle of like a basketball game and the band shows up or the other way around or something. And it's like, boom, they're there. And but yeah, I thought that was kind of cool that we actually got to see regular people just showing up.
Literally at the hospital, man, these people are just freaking out. Like, what's going on? Like, they're all coming back. And then Monica Rambeau obviously shows up. She goes in there, talks to her SWORD personnel. You find out that her mom died of cancer. So because she's been gone for 3 years. Apparently, it should have been 5, according to the movie, so they messed up on that.
No, because it was 5 years that they'd been gone. Her mom died 2 years after the snap. So that would be her mom's been gone 3 years. Yeah, no, that wasn't a mistake. Yeah, the math is right.
All right, just making sure. No, my math wasn't right then. Yeah. But anyway, shows her coming back. She goes into SWORD. She goes into that world that Wanda created. And then you find out more what's going on. And if you guys haven't figured it out yet, Wanda basically created that whole little world. We don't know why yet. We think it's because of, you know, she's, you know, just depressed or something, that she's lost people because she's lost her brother. She's lost Vision. We see an image of Vision that, you know, clearly states that he is still dead. Like, this basically the Vision that we see in this world is one that Wanda created. You know, because she can warp reality to her own means. And you see that. It's a frightening Vision, though. Almost looks like the zombie Tony Stark from Spider-Man Far From Home, one.
Yeah. I always kind of wondering because, you know, all these people are obviously alive and she's controlling them in some way. Is she controlling Vision's dead husk? Because that's what I thought that was. That was literally Vision's body, but she switched off the illusion for a second and then she switched it back on. I mean, I really thought that's what that was. I was like, what the?
Yeah, what's going on? You see the end where she throws Rambeau out of the Vision world. And she just building it all back and tells Vision that nothing's going to happen in this world. She controls it and just, you know, she's in control now. Although I think there's somebody else in control of it besides her. But, you know,
we get introduced, and I think you kind of brushed over it. But when we get introduced to Park, and then we get introduced – or Jimmy Woo, and then we get introduced to Darcy. We get to see them again and find out what's going on. We learn a lot about those characters in this show, about where they're at, what have they been doing. We see Darcy. I mean, she has not skipped a beat. Kat Denning picked up on Darcy. Just quick-witted right off the bat. You know, hey, can I get a coffee? No, you got to do this. Well, finally she figures out what's going on. Can I finally get a coffee around here? There's just like this humor that's going on with her that she's figuring it out. And she's the one that's figured this out. None of the other guys have. She's got Woo helping her out. And we're seeing that camaraderie, which I love to see that, because I loved that character in Ant-Man. I thought he was great in Ant-Man, and just that back and forth between him and Shudo.
And a Lang.
Lang. And I thought that character in development was great, and to see them continue was just perfect. This shows me that what a waste S.H.I.E.L.D. was, as far as like the movie or the series Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. It shows you that they could have really taken bits and pieces of the existing MCU and brought those actors in and those characters in, and just had this smooth transition back and forth to make it a really smooth world transition. That, yes, this is the TV world, that's the big screen, but guess what? That person can come here. They had two people, if my memory serves me correct. They had Lady Sif and Phil Coulson. And then of course, not Stark, but
Sam Jackson.
I was going to say. Yeah. But other than that, yeah. So three people. That's it. I think that's that was a real waste of time. I do know that they did want to bring in S.W.O.R.D., but they were told no. So that one I do know, you know. And this is a good way that if they want to build off, they could bring in a S.H.I.E.L.D. show again if they do
stick with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to do it the correct way, this is the best way to do it. You know, you have your own little interconnected universe. You don't have to have 22 episodes. You can have 8.
Yeah.
Tell your storytelling and get out.
But yeah, no, like you were saying, yeah, there's definitely at the very end, there's, you know, you can see the look in Wanda's face. And I was, you know, talking the same thing with a friend of ours. And I was like, yeah, somebody's somebody's controlling her. We just don't know who it is. I know if you look online, there are 5 different theories about who's controlling her.
Yeah, it's growing. I mean,
there are ridiculous amounts. Somebody's going to be right. Well, out of those 5, and I know you have your one theory. I don't have one because there's just too many things that could happen. And I'm honestly enjoying the I don't know ride right now. That this is one of those few moments that I'm like, you know, I don't know and I don't want to know. I want to be surprised like everybody else. I've read the reviews or read the theories.
Either or, we're going to be surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, even if I am right or wrong or whatever, we're going to be surprised one way or another.
Yeah, because yours is what?
Mephisto. I think it's Mephisto. Yeah.
And
not
again,
Mephisto.
Yeah, but Mephisto. Yeah, Mephisto. Yeah, you kept saying Mephisto. I was like, who's Mick? Is he come with it? Does he bring the milkshakes too?
He's gonna wear the gold suit with the horns.
So, well, we've already had a Grimace. Why not have a Mephisto?
Hey, why not, man? You're dealing comics.
So, but yeah, I can see that one. Like I said, that's why I shared that on our Facebook page. I shared somebody online had made a theory about Mephisto, and there's a lot of connections, a lot of things that go there. But there's also, like I said, there's like 4 other theories. They're like, yeah, well, it could be this, and I've watched them too, and I'm like, yeah, they're gonna all be it. So, and that's what I love about this, you know, about the MCU is that they keep you guessing. They don't, they never make it obvious. They haven't yet. So did you say, was it you or somebody else made a comment about the stork?
I did.
And what was your comment about this? I heard you say the stork, and I don't remember you saying anything after that.
I think the stork is Mephisto.
Why do you say that?
Because every time she tried to use her magic on it, he just brushed it off like it was nothing. And you saw the red dust in the background.
Well, that was her. Remember, everything, every bit of her magic is red.
I'm not saying Mephisto is red, too.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying that one, okay. If that's what you're going
that's
off
what
of,
I'm
okay.
Basing on. I think okay. That's Mephisto or like an avatar of Mephisto in there. Yeah.
Like I said, now if it's the red's that's Scarlet Witch. She does red. Poofing things, you know. So they I think that's a mutant thing. Even Nightcrawler does red poofing things. So
I thought his blue was a blue poofing thing.
It depends on which version you look. I've seen red.
I've only seen the blue, but whatever. Episode 4 comes out this week, and I think we're gonna get more. And I think,
we're down to the wire now. You know, we're at now 4 is the peak. You know, after that we've got 4 episodes afterwards. So that, you know, 4 is the middle mark. This is when we're gonna start getting interesting.
Now things are starting to pick up. I think the trailer showed like Vision and Wanda having a little standoff. So
I'm not even. I don't even watch the trailer.
I did. So
yeah, I don't. Spoilers. I don't even. That's why I want to keep that one. I'm keeping that a surprise for me.
But yeah, check it out. So
definitely, yeah, there should be a moment eventually when he does that. You know, when Vision like, hey, what's going on?
He's figuring it out.
Oh yeah, he's already figured. Little. Yeah, he's already figured something out.
So he's Vision, dude.
Yep. Now, for me, I've been watched the second episode of the second season of Batwoman, and
I watched it too.
Yeah, what did you think?
She's driving the Batmobile now, which is interesting, and I don't hate the Batmobile like I first did, because it kind of reminds me of the Adventures of Batman and Robin Batmobile, so I'm cool with that. You know, I just like the whole thing, how she's thrown into the world. It's still, I think that kind of bugs me. Like, you know, don't even know who Kate is. Why now you're going to write her?
Yeah.
Like, come on now. Like, oh, dear Kate. Like,
yeah, the second she picked up the diary,
bothers me. I mean, like, because with Kane to Bruce, it was different. That's family. But like with her, like, you don't even know who she is. Except for like one like interlude, maybe that she recognized you in the shadows. Like, that's the only time you basically saw her.
Yeah, and she happened to open up to that part in the diary, which I thought was like a little forced.
Yeah, come on now.
I think this one's just – she's getting a little too shoehorned in, and it's not – and you're forcing something right now, and it's not working.
This is what I was worried about when they announced like, oh, we're not going to recast. I'm like, okay, so you're going to make a new character be Batwoman. Okay, but now you're forcing her into that Bat world, and she she doesn't know anything about that Bat world.
Yeah, she doesn't. Yeah, it's too forced, and it's not. I don't think it's going to work. Unfortunately, I feel this is going to be.
I think this might be the last season.
Yeah, this is going to be last season. Yeah, if they even make it through the full season.
Because, you know, if you wanted to be bold, make Beth Batwoman. She's a freaking psycho. Maybe after the death of her sister, she just turns it around.
Yeah, that would have been, that would have made more sense. Or even that, or even have Alice fucking flip a switch and go into. Although, you know, Alice is the most creative thing on there. You know,
she's literally the best thing on that show. Hey, like the crows are okay. Julie Pennyworth is okay, but like, you know, Alice, she makes that show. Without her, they're nothing.
Yeah. So yeah. But, and then my last question, because you weren't here last week. And I got yelled at. I got yelled at on Facebook. Walker. I know we're two episodes in, but Walker, what do you think? You're the supernatural guy. I got chastised online for saying something, and I want to fix that right now. So please and please say the right name too.
Mr. Jared Padalecki.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Or Colt Walker, whatever his name is in the show. It's pretty good. I like it so far. I mean, I'm only two episodes in. It's not bad. Doesn't really have a supernatural vibe at all, even though it has a couple cast members on there. It's kind of like he's trying to figure out who killed his wife, which I think would be cool if it was actually Jensen Ackles was the main villain of season one. I think that'd be really cool.
Nice.
I was thinking about that. Like, can you imagine? Like, because the whole thing, he keeps carrying this like poker chip. Right. Because when the night his wife died, he found the poker chip on his wife, and the show picks up like literally a year later. He's undercover, comes back home. He's trying to get together, reconcile with his teenage kids, his mom, his dad, and all that stuff. New partner. But he keeps carrying around this little poker chip. And it's supposed to be like, you know, whoever killed his wife, is it kind of like alluded or connected to that somehow? But so far, I think it's pretty good. I think it'll definitely last a season. I think it might last two. It's definitely not. He's still Sam in a way.
Well, he's Sam, I think for everybody that's ever watched him. He's always going to be Sam.
But I think the more episodes that go along, more seasons he gets under his belt, he's going to get away from Sam. He's building more to Colt Walker, which he's supposed to be.
I think
it's a definitely watch. I mean, if you guys like, you know, the old Walker series, I mean, he's not kicking too much ass yet, but it's getting there. It's more story-driven right now. He's trying to get together with his family, but I dig it. I dig it so far. And if you guys haven't heard yet, you know, producers of Walker, make Jensen Ackles the villain of season one.
It should be Chuck Norris.
Ooh. Okay.
Just saying, if you're gonna have a villain, make it Chuck Norris.
Man, can you imagine that? And he's still Walker.
Uh-huh.
He's like, yeah, I used to be a Walker a long time ago, but I quit that stuff. Now I'm working.
Turn my badge in.
Oh my god! And like, literally, it picks up like after the old Walker series ended. He's like, you know, I quit the law. He opened up like a Vegas something strip show and became dude. That'd be awesome. I'm down for that. But check it out. It's definitely worth watching. It's a really good show. I think there are four episodes in now. So, definitely check it out.
All right. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. We always give it the Asylum 5 episodes to watch. I just wanted to get your temperature on it. Now, I'm not going to watch it. I was never a Walker fan. I've fallen off the Winchester wagon. So, but I just was kind of curious, and I'm sure others that are kind of curious. So we'll wait.
It's okay.
We'll wait a few more weeks and keep a seat warm for you, dude. That's okay. Yeah. Do that. But we'll check back in with you in a couple of weeks to see what your temperature is after the Magic Five.
Yes, sir.
All right. But guys, make sure to check us out again. If you guys are interested, on our Patreon page, is listed here for you guys. It's just at Heroes Asylum. There's no spaces. So if anybody is interested in showing some support and love, please go ahead and drop us. You know, it's a small donation. We will set up tiers eventually. I haven't just quite figured out what the tiers are going to be, and I want to see what the interest is on it first. We also have a Buy Me a Coffee page as well. It's kind of the same similar thing. And just let us know. And if anybody is interested in wanting to like get a spot on the show, let us know as well. We'll be more than willing to promote some local businesses, especially with our local businesses. Yeah. But make sure you guys do check us out on our Facebook page, where all week long we have Black History Month. And, of course, on Wednesday we are going to have what now? What are we going to have?
Ham. Ham is coming on Wednesdays. That's right. Ham. Join us for Ham, which is Heroes of Silent Midnight Movie Podcast. We just did one. We have a couple in the archives. We actually have a ton in the archives. If you like Batman movies, we got Batman movies in there. If you like weirdo movies, you got Big Trouble Little China in there. We got Star Wars movies. Hell, I think we have heavy metal in there. We got animated movies. Yep. everything in there. So if you guys are bored on Friday night, you have nowhere to go, you're quarantined, no matter what place, well, tune it in, man. Get the movie, queue it up with us, get a couple brews, get some popcorn, and you get ready to laugh your butt off. Because, you know, as we always say in Ham, we never really talk about the movie. It's always about something else, little tangents. But it's definitely a worth listen, guys. You'll crack up, trust me.
Yes.
And it's coming from one of the guys who does it.
Yeah, so make sure this week we are going to be doing Mortal Kombat 1995 in honor of the up-and-coming new Mortal Kombat. So check that out for the review. And then the week after, we'll be Into the Spider-Verse.
Into the spite of us.
All right, guys. Well, good, thank you for subscribing, listening, talking to us over here. Make sure Kane has also offered that we want to do some questions. If you guys have any questions, make sure you do send it over to the Twitter account that's up here on the page at Heroes_Asylum.
Yep. Heroes_Asylum.
We will see you guys next week. And we also see you online. See ya.